Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So today we're going to learn today's daf, and then a little bit later today we will be learning tomorrow's daf. So today we are doing from Basra daf Yud Beis. We are holding on daf Yud Aleph and Beis. We are at the two dots, five lines from the end of the page on daf Yud Aleph and Beis. So Shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander and on his wife and children, Alice Chusuf for Shlema for his Le'ilei Nishmas. His mother called about Simcha Shalom and is also sponsored by Daniel Sabian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times. And Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what the Gemara is going to talk about today is first we're going to talk about removing doorways, not just a door, but a doorway, and the difference between those two things for a variety of different halachos that might come up. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how large an area is a din chaluka for different types of property in different places of the world. What's considered to be a din chaluka and what is not. Then the Gemara is going to talk about Nevua and Chachma nowadays. The contrast between Nevua and Chachma, what it is, who still has it, who still has Nevua, if it exists at all anymore. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about the impact of food and drink on a person's ability to think. And then, toward the end of Amud Beis, we're going to talk about a variety of circumstances related to Dina de Bar Mitzvah, that when can a person make a reasonable claim that I should get two properties that are adjacent to each other and that are not at any distance from each other. So let's begin. Amar Mar, we're holding out the two dots. So Amar Mar, Hayasasimu Bikesh L'Posko, Ein B'nei Mavoi Ma'akfin L'Lav, that if you had a doorway that was closed and you wanted to open it up, the B'nei Mavoi cannot prevent you from doing so. So Amar Rav, Lo Shanu L'Shal Partzis P'simov, of Partzis P'simov, B'nei Mavoi Ma'akfin L'Lav. That's only if you're not Partzis P'simov, if you did not remove the doorpost entirely. But if you removed the entire doorpost and closed it off, so then the B'nei Mavoi can, in fact, be Ma'akiv and can prevent you from returning the door to that place, because that's like opening up a brand new door. So Amalei Abaye L'Rava Tanya D'Masayelach. Abaye says, I bring a raya to this distinction that we made between just closing a door, sealing a door, versus Paratzitz Patimov, where you remove the entire door post and it now looks like just flat straight wall. Where do we see such a similar concept? By Yisasum, if you have a closed off house, Yeshlo Arba Amos, it still gets four Amos in the Chatzer, Keneged the Pesach, but Paratzitz Patimov, Ein Lo Arba Amos. Once you take away the door post, then it no longer gets four Amos connected that doorway in the chatzer. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch that if your party says Petzimav, yes, it's true, you lose the Dalet Amos that you normally would get right outside of the door, but you do not lose your chelek of the chatzer, meaning whatever chelek you had in the chatzer, you still maintain that chelek in the chatzer, and that's how all the Rishonim write. The Ramban explains, and the Rush explains, the reason for that is that the four Amos that you have by your door are only to enable you to use that area, so therefore removing it from the Pesach is considered a mechilas zuchus. By removing the Pesach entirely, you're being mochel that zuchus. But your chelek and the rest of the chatzar, that actually belongs to you. That's shalom. That's actually yours. So a mechila is not going to be enough. The only way to lose that is by actually doing a real kinyan. So says the Gemara, skipping the parentheses, by Yisaslam, Eino Matami Kol Svivav. Similarly, if you have a closed off house and there's a dead body inside that house, it's not Matame the four Amos around it like every other kever would normally be Matame. It's only Matame connected the Pesach of that house, even though that Pesach is currently closed off. But Paratz as Petimov, Matame Kol Svivav. But if you remove the door post and therefore there's no door anymore by that house, there's no door post at all by that house, so then we have no direct Pesach to the kever, and therefore we treat the whole thing like a kever, so it's metame the four amos all around it. Another din, Amar Rab Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mavosam Filoshos Liar Acheres. If you have a mavoi that opens up on both ends, and you can pass through that mavoi to go from one city to another, Ubikshu Bnei Yair L'Sosman, and the people from the cities that the mavoi opens up into want to close off that mavoi, they want to prevent passage through that mavoi, Bnei Oseir, Ma'akvin Alein. The people of the other city can say, no, that really cramps our lifestyle. We like to be able to use that mavoi to travel from one city to the other. So, Lomi Bayikil Lakadarka Achrina de Ma'akvi, and you don't even need to tell me if there's no other path to get from one to after the other, that of course is going to be ma'akev ala afilu ki kadarka achrina. Even if there's another way to go, nami ma'akvi, you could still prevent them from going mishum to Rav Yehuda. You could still prevent them from closing it off. So the mishum to Rav Yehuda Amarav, because this halacha is derived based on what Rav Yehuda Amarav taught. The Amar meitzar shechziku bo rabim. If you have a strip of land that a group of people have been machzikin to be able to pass through that piece of land, even though it doesn't belong to them, also the kalkalo, you're not allowed to close off that piece of land. So over here also, since the rabbim were muchzak to be able to go to take a shortcut through this mavoy, you can't prevent that shortcut. That shortcut now belongs to them. If you have a mavoy that's opened up into Rishas Rabbim, ubikshu b'nei mavoyos lamed l'ndosos, and the members of the mavoy want to set up a door by the entranceway of the mavoy so that the b'nei Rishas Rabbim should not enter into that mavoy, meaning the people in the mavoy are tired of having people from Rishas Rabbim overflowing into their mavoy. This is a more private area, so they want to set up doors that prevents people from coming in. So b'nei Rishas Rabbim ma'akvin aleihem, the b'nei Rishas Rabbim say, no, you cannot make it a private mavoy. We've always had the right to overflow into this mavoy, and the B'nai Rosh Hashanah will continue to have that right. So, Savra Mina Hani Mili Barba Amos. Initially, they thought that this meant that you're not allowed to set up a door within the first four amos of the mavoy. Kid Rabbi Zeira Amar Nachman, Dom Rabbi Zeira Amar Nachman, Arba Amos Asmuchs Rosh Hashrabim, Kurish Hashrabim Damyan. Like Rabbi Zeira Amar Nachman says, that when you have four amos that are close to the Rosh Hashrabim, then it has a din like a Rosh Hashrabim. And any suffix tumma that you find there is considered to be tahar, like a suffix tumma that you would have in Rosh Hashrabim. So since those dalit amos have the status of Rosh Hashrabim, so I would think that it makes sense that the B'nai Rosh Hashrabim can say, you can't keep us out of there. It's a Rosh Hashrabim. We have every right to be able to be in there. But I would think once you're past four amos into the mavoy, you're not in Rosh Hashrabim anymore. That's Rosh Hashayachid territory. And therefore, the B'nai Rosh Hashrabim should not have the right to prevent, therefore the B'nai Rosh Hashrabim should not have the right to prevent you from putting up a door to block their passageway. They don't have any right to be there. It's no longer Rosh Hashrabim. So it's interesting what we're comparing over here is the dinim of Safik Tumah B'Rosh Hashrabim, Safik Tumah B'Rosh Hashayachid, and the dinim of Zuchusei Yishtamshus, of the right to be able to use a certain area. So the Gemara is assuming at this point that if we're going to treat an area as a Rosh Hashrabim, Legabi Safik Tumah B'Rosh Hashrabim, which is a halacha that's derived from Sota, that a Safik Tumah B'Rosh Hashrabim is Tahar, then we're going to treat that area as a Rosh Hashrabim as far as the rights of the Rosh Hashrabim to be there. But once you're no longer treating the area, once you're in an area that's not treated as a Rosh Hashrabim Legabi Safik Tumah, so then it's not going to be treated as a Rosh Hashrabim as far as the rights of the Rosh Hashrabim, of the B'nai Rosh Hashrabim to go there either. But says Gemara V'lohi, it's not correct. Even if the B'nai Mavoy want to set up the doorways more than four amos into the Mavoy, Shmuel would hold the B'nai Rosh Hashrabim still have the right to prevent that from happening. Why? Because Hasam L'inyan Tumah, Avalach Hazim D'dachi B'nai Rosh Hashrabim Va'ili Tuvah. Because the two areas of Allah have nothing to do with each other. When it comes to matters relating to Tumah, so then only the initial four Amos are going to have a status of Rosh Hashrabim, because that's where it's most common that B'nai Rosh Hashrabim will be found. But there's still a right for the B'nai Rosh Hashrabim to go beyond the four Amos, as far as Zuchusei Yishtamshus, that will be beyond the original four Amos. There's a machlokas Rishonim, there's some of the Rishonim say that machlokas Rishonim, what type of mavoy we're referring to over here. Are we talking about a mavoy that's mefulash on both ends, meaning that has chatzeros off two sides of it, but at both ends it's opened into Rishuyos Harabim, or is it more like a cul-de-sac, where only at one end it opens into Rishuyos Harabim? So the sheet of several Rishonim, the Rashba and the Abrama and others, is that we're talking about a mavoy that's mefulash mitzad echad and sasum on the other three tzadim. Because if it were mefulash mishnei tzadim, why would the Gemara say that the reason is because sometimes the rabbim happen to encroach beyond four amos? There would be a better reason. It's because probably B'nai Rosh Hashrabim go through it all the time to get from one end to the other, if it were really mefulash. And therefore, it must be that this is not mefulash on both tzadim. Nevertheless, the Ramban writes, in the name of Rabbani Svarad, and the Miri says as well, that we're talking about a mavoy that is in fact mefulash mishnei tzadav. And in fact, that's the lashon the Gemara uses, is mavuos hamufilashin. And the reason the Gemara doesn't say that the Bnei Rosh Hashanah can be ma'akev, because they're always going there, is to tell us that even if the Bnei Rosh Hashanah have another path that they could just as easily use, they could still be ma'akev, they could still prevent you from putting up some sort of doorway that's going to block their passageway. So then we had said in the Mishnah, there's only kedei chaluka in the field. One partner can only force the other partner to divide a field if each partner is going to get 9 kav of an area where they could plant 9 kav. But then we said that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He said, no, half that. They only need to each have 4.5 kav for a total of 9 kav. Says Mar Velo Pligi, and they happen to not be arguing. Mar Ki Asrei, each one is setting up an amount that makes sense for the place where they lived. In the place where the Tanakama lived, the ground was very weak, and therefore it's not a Kedei Chaluka unless it's a large enough area of ground that you could plant 9 kav. In the place where Rabbi Yehuda lived, apparently is much more fertile ground, and owning less of it is still worthwhile. So therefore, half the amount is still considered a Kedei Chaluka. So once the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda disagree on this level, but we know that both of them lived in Eretz Yisrael, and it depended where in Eretz Yisrael they lived. So the Gemara says, and what about if you live in Bavel? So b'Bavel Mai, what would the Allah be in Bavel? How much area in a field would be considered a Kedei Chaluka in Bavel? Well, Amar Rav Yosef, Beiradu Yoma. If after the Chalukah, each one has enough land that they could plow, an ox could plow the field for a full day, it will be a full day's work for the ox, then they divide the field. And if not, they don't divide the field. And the reason is because you cannot hire oxen to plow for less than a full day. So if the plowing finishes in the middle of the day, it turns out that the Baal HaSadeh lost out on the Dmei HaSchirus because he paid for a full day. So therefore, it's only Kedei Chaluka if I'm going to be able to utilize an ox that I rent for a day for the entire day. If I'm not going to have enough to keep the ox busy for the entire day, that's a terrible waste of money that I'm going to have by trying to rent out that ox. So my Beiradu Yoma, which day of Charish are we talking about? There are two times a year that people would plow. People would plow during the planting season in order to make planting easier, and people would plow during the harvesting season. So I Yom Zara, if we're talking about the Charisha that's done during the Shas Hasriya, when they're planting, where it's very easy to plow the ground because it was already plowed once after it was harvested. So Treyom Akarvi Lohavi, that's not going to give you 2 full days of meaning that amount of land will not provide you with 2 full days during the harvesting season. Meaning the Charisha that they do during the harvesting season, where the ground is hard and it's dry and it's much harder to plow, so you need more time to plow it. So if you're going to get a full day's worth of work out of this ox during the planting season, you'll get about a day's and a half worth of work out of, it would take about a day's and a half worth of work to plow that field during the harvesting season. So either way, you're going to be missing out on part of a day's work. And Yom Karva, and if we're talking about one day's work during the harvesting season, Yom Dezara Lo Havi, then you will not get a full day's work during the planting season. So it's never going to match up exactly that every time you want to plow the karka that you're going to have be able to maximize the time that you're using this shor. So says Mar Iba Yisemi Yom Dekarva Dekaravatani Iba Yisemi Yom Dezara Badure, that it could be that we're talking about during the harvesting season. And the case is that at the time of the Zriya, they plowed the ground twice. One time before the Zriya in order to make it easier to plant, and a second time after the Zriya to cover up that which they did plant with more soil. So those two Charishos together will take as long as one Charisha in the Shas HaKatzir, in the harvesting season. Or it could be that we're talking about one day's worth of plowing during the the planting season, and the Bahadure, and the hard ground with Alios and Yuridos, where we're talking about where there's specifically hard ground, which will take where there's a big tircha to do the Harisha during the harvesting season, so it would take 2 full days to plow that very same ground during the harvesting season. So it actually is a 2-to-1 ratio, meaning both answers of the Gemara assume the same, you know, are working on the same basic idea, that you have to make it a 2-to-1 ratio, because if you don't make it an exact 2-to-1 ratio, then you are not maximizing the usage of that shor. So davla, if you have a bor that they draw water from in order to water the fields, so how much does that have to have in order to for shutvim to be able to force each other to divide that between each other? So Rav Nachman, beidalu yoma, you need enough that you could water your field by hiring a worker for a full day. And if you get enough of that watering hole that your worker will keep busy for a full day watering your field, then that's called a kedei chaluka. Pardesa, what about a vineyard? How big does it have to be in order for one shutaf to be able to force the other shutaf to divide it? Samar avu adishmuel bashloshes kabin. It has to have enough to plant 3 kav for each of the shutfim. And that's the shear of a kerem. That's how we always determine the size of a kerem. And if each shutaf is going to end up with that much, then it's kedei chaluka. If they will not end up with that much, it is not a kedei chaluka. Tanya nami achi, we have a brisa that's just like this. If a guy says to his friend, I'll sell you a chelik in my kerem, and he doesn't say how much, Sumcha says that he has to give him a part of the kerem no less than 3 kav, than a minimum of 3 kav, because that's the smallest size of a kerem, the smallest size of a vineyard. So if you tell somebody that I'm selling you a kerem, you cannot stick them with something less than that, because that's not a kerem at all. Rabbi Yossi says, this sounds like Nevius. I don't know. Sumchus is saying things. It sounds like a Navi. He doesn't give any explanation for it. He must have had some sort of Nevuah that this is that this is the shear of a Keren. So it's a machlokas Rishonim, whether that's a compliment or an insult, right? Meaning, are you disagreeing or are you agreeing when you're saying Ein Eluel Divrei Nevius? So the way Rashi understands is that it's wrong, meaning he's not giving any svara, and therefore Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing with Sumchus, and Rabbi Yossi is saying that you need a Navi to be mevarer each time how much the mocher intended to really sell. You can't be just kaveya on your own what's considered a kerem and what's not considered a kerem. So he's totally disagreeing. However, Rabbi Nugershav and the Rimigash and the Ritva say that Rabbi Yossi in fact holds like Sumchus, and he's being mishabeyachin. He's saying, oh, what Sumchus says is MS. It's like the words of a Navi, meaning even though the guy didn't say what Sumchus says, we should trust as if it came from the words of a Navi. Bebavel Mai, what if you have Shutafim that are coming to divide a vineyard in Bavel where the karka is not as high quality, and you would only be Tareach if it were a much larger area of land? So what's the amount of space you need to inherit to have in a vineyard in order to make it worthwhile to divide it? If the kerem has 3 groups of vines, then each one has 12 gefanim, they divide it. But less than that, they don't divide it. Because that's the amount that a poel is able to work and to dig over the course of a full day. So the shutaf doesn't lose out because of the chalukah, since the poel is not going to be sitting there twiddling his thumbs for half a day. It will keep the poel busy, it will keep the worker busy for the entirety of the day. Now, once the Gemara had mentioned Rabbi Yossi's comment about Sumchus, that it's Divrei Nevius, so says Gemara, let's talk a little bit about Nevuah. Whatever happened to Nevuah? Do people still have Nevuah? So Amar Rabbi Avdi mi demin Chayfa, mi yom shechar beis hamikdash nitla Nevuah min haNeviim v'nitla lechachamim. From the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed, Nevuah was taken, and when we refer to Beis HaMikdash over here, it means Bayis Rishon, because Bimei Bayis Sheni, there was no Nevuah. So from the day of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Nevuah was taken away from Nevi'im and was instead given to the Chachmei HaTorah, that through their own Seichel and their own logic, their own analysis, they'll be able to be Mechavein to Dvar Emes, Ki'ilu, that they're receiving Nevuah. There's a fascinating tshuva in the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzerov in Yerodei HaChelubei, Simon Kofei, he was asked about a certain Malamed that said about the Orach Chaim HaKadosh that he did not write his Sefer Beruach HaKodesh. And they wanted to know, do we fire this Malamed for disrespect to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh by saying that he did not write his Sefer in Ruach HaKodesh? So Divrei Chaim says, Lo Yadati Masafik Lechem Sharuach HaKodesh Shara Gamata Ala Ra'u Lo. He says, I don't know why you're not sure whether Ruach HaKodesh still exists for people who deserve it. Af Al Pi Shabotla Nevuah Min HaNeviim Halama Furash Yisa Bababa Basra Shem Yom Shechar Vesemek Shal Pi Shudu Min HaNeviim En Acham Lo Nitla. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. It's Beferish Nar Gemara that even though Nevuah no longer exists among the Neviim, it was given to the Chachamim. So Mistama, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh is included in that. In fact, in the Stei Chemed, he quotes that which the Divrei Chaim writes, and then he adds that it's Yadua that the Baal Shem Tov was Moser Nefesh in order to try to personally meet the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, and V'nasun B'yam Darko L'lech Zeretz Yisrael Kasher Balusham Orach Chaim HaKadosh V'shnas Tavkuf Beis. He went to travel at great length to try to be able to see him, and Ba'avon Ador Mishamayim Mikvuhu, because of the Avonos of the generation, it didn't work out. And Ve'ilmole Hisro Panim B'Panim Shamanu Mikdosh Eretz Shoyu Polim Kedushasam Lavi Mashiach Tzidkenu Shoyav Merv Yamenu Amen. Had the best met the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the Kedusha in that room would have been so intense that Mashiach would have for sure had to come. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to prevent that meeting because of the Avon Adar that we weren't deserving yet of having Mashiach. Okay, so yeah, I'm not sure how anybody knows that, but the Gemara says that Nevuah was taken from the Nevi'im and given to the Chachamim. So it says, Atu Chacham Lav Navi'u. Is a Chacham not Roy to be a Navi? Meaning, why are we saying that the Nevuah was not Shora on the Chachamim initially? Meaning, who do you think these Nevi'im were? Weren't they also Chachamim initially? It's as if you're saying, oh, we took it from one group of people, and instead Nevuah was given now to wise men. What? And previously it was given to morons? Well, what do you mean? The original Nevi'im were not Chachamim? So Hachikam, our Afal Pish Nitlam and Nevi'im, even though it was taken from Nevi'im, were not Chachamim, Minacham Lo Nitla. It was not taken from those from those Nevi'im that were Chachamim. They still have the capacity to experience Nevuah. That's how Rashi learns our Gemara. The Ramban doesn't understand. He says, what do you mean? Even though it was taken from Nevi'im that were not Chachamim? Is there such a thing as a Navi that's not a Chacham, says the Ramban? The Gemara Nidarim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Mashal Shechina Al Chacham, Gibar, Va'ashir. That's one of the prerequisites of Nevuah, is to be a Chacham. So what does that mean? We took the Nevuah away from the Nevi'im that were not Chachamim and only left it with the Nevi'im who are Chachamim. So that's why the Ramban writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mashal Shechina unless someone's a Chacham, B'Kvius. But he quotes some who argue this way. But every now and then, even someone who's not a Chacham may experience Nevuah. And after Churban HaBayis, that stopped happening as well. The Ramban himself thinks that no, Rav Avdimi is trying to say that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Nevuas HaNeviim, which are things that a person would never be able to comprehend with his own brain, with his own logic, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala in a Marit, in a Chazon, but nevertheless, there's still what's called Nevuas Chachamim. Meaning the way the Ramban understands that the nature of Nevuah changed. Nevuah used to be something that was not an intellectual endeavor. It was just a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a person. Nowadays, there's Nevuas Chachamim. There's no longer Nevuas Nevi'im, there's Nevuas Chachamim. It's no longer a gift that a person is just implanted in a person's head, but rather it's a kind of intellectual accomplishment that a person is able to have. So Amar HaMeimar, the Chacham Adav Minavi, that which a Chacham is able to achieve through his Chacham and through his Seichel is greater than Nevuah. Shenemar v'Navi Levav Chachma, Min Nitla B'Mi, when you want to compare two things, which one do you say is like the other one? Haviyomer Kata Nitla B'Gadol, you want to talk up somebody, you say, oh, he's like the Gadol Ador. So over here also, we say, oh, the Navi is so great, he's like a Chacham. So that's telling me that a Chacham is better than a Navi, and that's how we know that Chacham Adav Minavi. Amar Abaye Teid, I'll bring you a raya that Nevuah is with the Chachmei Torah, because sometimes it means that nowadays Nevuah still exists among the Chachmei Torah. How do I know that? Amar Gavar Rabbi Milsa, because an Adam Gadol in Torah says something using Chachmas HaTorah, Umesam Mishmei de Gavar Rabbi Achrina Kavasei, and it turns out that it was already said in the name of another Gavar Rabbi. So if you're going to say that the Divrei HaChacham were not utilizing the Koach HaNevuah, how could it be that two different people in two different generations said the same exact thing, and the other Chachamim in their generations didn't come up with that Chap, with that Chiddush? It must be, if they're Mechavi to the same exact thing, that it's not just regular Seichel, it's Koach HaNevuah. So I'm a Rabbi, my Kushi, you never heard of two people that think similarly to each other? It could just be that they think in a similar way to each other. How does that tell you that there's Nevuah? So Elam Rav Teda, no, I'll bring you another Raya. Damar Gavar Rav Milsa Misamra Mishvet Rabbi Kiva Bar Yosef Kavasei, that someone will say a great Chiddush and then they'll say it over in the name of Rabbi Akiva like him. No one thinks like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was just so unique, so special. There's no one that could claim to have the same thought processes as Rabbi Akiva. And that's the Raya to Nevuah. Amar Rav Ashi Umaykush Yodimullah HaMilsa Bar Mazlehu. I don't know, no one thinks like Rabbi Akiva in total, but maybe Legabe, this sugya, this inyan that this person was talking about, he happened to have thought about it the same way as Rabbi Akiva. Why is that so impossible to believe? Elam Ravashi, Ravashi says the third explanation. Teda, the real raya that that Nevuah was given to Chachamim is Damar Gavar Rabbi Milsa Misamra Lachon L'Moshe Misinai Kavasei, that sometimes a Chacham is going to be Mechavein to that which is really Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is not something that comes from Svara, from Seichel. So that has to have been a Nevuah. V'dilma K'suma Baruba. So it says, well, yeah, but maybe he's just like a blind man feeling around in the dark, meaning even a broken clock is right twice a day. So maybe the person is not really a Navi, he just happened to luck into something that happened to also be Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Says V'lav Tam Yoiv, but the Chacham also gives an explanation for what he says. So that has to come from his own Svara, and he's not walking blindly. So it must be that it came to him through Nevuah, and that's why he was Mechavein to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So whatever the Raya is, the Gemara says, you see that Nevuah was in fact given to Chachamim. So once we mention this statement of Rav Avdimi, the Gemara tells us more about Nevuah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Nitl Nevuah Min Nevi'im Nitl L'Shotim L'Tinokos, that after the Chorban HaBayis, Nevuah was taken away from Nevi'im and it was instead given to fools and to children. So L'Shotim Mayhi, what do we mean it was given to Shotim? Ki Adam Marbar Ravashi Davakai Beristaka De Mechuza. Marbar Ravashi was standing in the shuk of the city of Mechuza, Shamilu Shotim to Kamar, and he heard a certain deranged person saying, Reish Masifta De Malach Masa Mechasya, the Rosh Yeshiva that's going to be appointed in Masa Mechasya, Tavyume Chasim, signs his name by Tavyume. So Amar, remember Rav Ashi thinks to himself, Man Chasim Tavyume Brabanan, who among the Chash Rabbanim who would be candidates to be Rosh Yeshiva signed their name Tavyume? And no, I think I'm the only one. So it sounds like this Shota, this deranged person, is screaming in the streets, then I'm going to be the next Rosh Yeshiva. Shema mino l'dikai mili shaita, must be my time. So come us, Amar Rav Ashi went to Masa Mechasya, Ada Osa, when he got there, Imnu Rabban lo Israel Rav Acha Midifti Bereisha, they had already nominated Rav Acha Midifti to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Kivin de Shami Da Osa, once the Chum heard that Amar Rav Ashi had come, Shadu Zugut Rabban Kabei Lam Luchebei, they sent apparently, Chashava visiting Talmud Chacham comes, so they sent a group of Talmidei Chachamim to take Eitzah from him. Should we in fact appoint the person who was nominated, Rav Acha Midifti, to be the Rosh Yeshiva? Or should we switch out the nominee at the last minute? So, more things change, more they stay the same. So, Ikve, Marbar Rav Ashi kept that group of Talmidei Chacham there, he kept the delegates with him, and he didn't let them go back out to the convention. Hadar Shadu Zugad Rabban Achrina, so they sent more delegates to go talk to him, to go talk to the party elder. So, Ikvi Gabe, well, the party younger, whatever. So, Ikvi Gabe, so again, he kept them, there. So Ad Malu Be'asara, until it was 10 people that were there, Kivin Demalu Be'asara, once he already had 10 Talmidei Chacham in front of him, Pasachu V'tanu V'darash, he started saying a drasha. L'vishen Pasach Mekal, Pasach Me'asara, Chacham doesn't begin a drasha unless there are 10 people there. So Kari Rav Acha Anafshe, Kalamari and Lolo B'meir Mativin Lo, Rav Acha said about himself, oh boy, if someone does bad to you, it's not going to quickly turn around for the good. Meaning, obviously, it didn't turn out to be my time. Rav Acha, who was the nominee, and was just rejected you know, it's not going to turn around so quickly. And Mar Bar Avashi, who they just did a Tovah with by making him the Rosh Yeshiva, that's not going to turn around too quickly either. So it looks like I'm never going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. So that's an example of where we see a Shota had Nevuah. Tinokas Maihi. Where do we find that Tinokas has Nevuah? That children have Nevuah? A young girl? The story of the daughter of Rav Chista, Haviyasa B'Kanfei Da'avuah, was sitting on her father's lap. Haviyasa Kamei, Rav of Rami Bar Chama. Two of his Talmidim were sitting in front of her, Rav and Rami Bar Chama. So Amrullah, so playfully, one would imagine, Rav Chista says to his daughter, Man Minayu Ba'is, which of my Talmidim do you want to marry? So Amrullah, she said, Travayu, I want to marry both of them. So quickly, Rav thinking on his feet, Amr Rav Vana Basra, I'll go second. Meaning, because he figured that the way the first marriage was going to end is with the husband dying. So he said, I'll take second. I'll be the second one. So, and that's in fact what happened. Kachava, that she married Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama died. And then she married Rava. The Marsha has a little trouble with this. The Chalila, to say that Rava was Makalil, Rami Bar Chama, that he should die before him. So the Marsha says, it must be that what he meant is that Rami Bar Chama will divorce her and then he'll marry her. And Rami Bar Chama was choshish for what Rabbi Akiva says in Pesachim Kuf Yud Beis, that Lo Sevash al B'gedera Shabishal B'chavercha, that you're not supposed to marry a grusha calls man that her original husband is still alive, Rabbi Kiva holds, and therefore he didn't jump up to say Ana Basra, because that would sound like he's cursing Rava, so he didn't want to say that, because he wouldn't marry her as long as Rava is still alive. Rava would marry her when Rami Bar Chama is still alive if they just get divorced. The way it happened to have played out was that he died instead of them getting divorced. Amar Rabbi Avdimi d'min Chayfa, kodem she'ochal adam yishta, yeshal shtei levavos. Before a person eats and drinks, he has two hearts, which the Rashi understands means he doesn't have a deyam yusheves. His mind is not settled. He's a little frablunged if he's on an empty stomach. It happens to be the Marsha and the Maral say the opposite, that when a person doesn't eat, it's a shevach, it's a maila. The Maral says that eating and drinking is mevalbel, a person's seichel. So before he eats and drinks, he has a much clearer mind. But the way Rashi understands, no, that before a person eats and drinks, their mind is not able to focus. You know, people get hangry or whatever. So once a person eats and drinks, they're much calmer. Once a person eats and drinks, now he has only one lev. That the luchos of etzim that are wood on all sides and is hollow in the middle. So you see that the word nevuv means hollow. So here also it says ish nevuv, someone who's got an empty stomach, someone who's hollow on the inside that they haven't eaten yet. So about him we say yilavev, that he's going to have two laves if he has a hollow stomach. But once his stomach gets filled, so then he's not going to have two laves anymore, then he'll have only lave echad. That someone who normally drinks wine, even if his heart is closed, meaning he doesn't easily understand things, so his heart is closed, the way a besula is closed, meaning not like a ba'ula, the wine will open up his heart, will enable him to understand things, because the pasuk says v'siro shinovev besulos, that wine turns the lave that is closed like a besula to now be opened up. The Adrama points out what is obvious, and that is that that's if you drink within reason. If a person drinks too much, he does not become smarter and more clever. He becomes drunk and less, able to think clearly. So now we transition to a discussion of Dina de Bar Mitzvah, that someone wants to claim that they're entitled to a particular property that's adjacent to another property that they own. So he says, you have a chelik b'char v'chelik pashut, the two portions that a b'char gets, the one portion that he gets like the rest of his brothers, and then the extra portion that he gets for being a b'char, yavin le'achad mitzvah. He deserves to get both of those portions of land right next to each other, adjacent to each other, so that it will be easier for him to work the land. But yava mai, what if a person marries his deceased brother's wife as an act of yibum, and therefore he gets his brother's portion of their father's Yerusha as well? can he demand that that portion should also be achad metzra, should also be on the same border? So Amrabaye hihi. He said, why would it be any different? Of course, it's the same. My taima. Now, what's the reason that it's that we know that it's the same? What's the basis for us to know that he could demand it achad metzra on the same? Demand the land adjacent to each other, because Bechar kari rechmana. The Torah calls a yavam a Bechar. It says vaya Bechar shetelid yakum al shem achiv hameis. So that tells me that he has the same din like a Bechar. It doesn't say vaya hagadol. It says habechar. So Rava Amar Kra vaya habechar haviyasa Bechar vein chalukaso kebechar. Rava says same pasuk. I have the opposite limud. It says vaya Bechar, which makes it sound like as far as the Yikr din about how much he takes, yeah, that's like a Bechar. His Havayaso is Kebechar. But as far as where he gets these lands, that's not like a Bechar. A Bechar would be able to demand them to be adjacent to each other. This fellow does not get to demand any such thing. Hauta Zavinara, there was a guy who purchased Karka, a Mitzra de Benashia, next to the border of a field that his father had owned. And later, a little while later, his father died, and the Karka went to Yerusha to his children. Ki Kapalgu, when they divided the Yerusha, the father, Amaluhu, the Baal Meitzah, said to the brother, Pligli Amitzrayi, give me my chelek next to the field that I already own, so that I'll all have one big field. We could force the other person who doesn't want to keep that field from him, Almida Saddam. Now, why would you not want to let someone else have a certain benefit when you don't lose anything as a result of that? So, here also, he's being nena by taking the chelek that's right next to his current border, and the brother doesn't lose anything because it's not worth any more than any of the other chalakim, so the brothers are going to be obligated to provide him with a chalak that's adjacent to what he already owns. Maskathar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenges, why can we force the brothers to give the Baal HaMetzar this chalak? After all, the brothers can say to the guy, to us, this chalak that you're requesting is the most chashuv karka in the world. Why should we have to lose out on this most chashuv karka in the whole world? Meaning, Krav Yosef, and we actually pass on that Krav Yosef, that if the brothers say, no, this piece of karka that you're demanding because you happen to be the neighbor to this piece of karka, to us is more valuable than any other piece of karka. So it's not kofel al midas sedom, it's not zenen of zelo chaser. We feel that we're chaser if we give this up to you, because we view this as the nechse de bar merion, the bay bar merion, it's the most chashuv karka. Trei Arasa, Trei Nagri. If you yarshin two fields and each one has an amas hamayim to water the field with, and the guy who has another field on one of the sides wants to take the field that's closer to his field, so Rabbi Kagon Zeh Kofer Amitistom. So Rabbi says, "Come on, let him have that field. You know, he's got another field right next to it. Both fields have an amas hamayim. So give him this one. What's the big deal?" So Maskel Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Well, Zimin Daimadvil Ayilamadvil. Sometimes if you have an amas hamayim watering each field, one of them will, the amas hamayim will dry up and the other one it won't dry up. So they're going to say, wait, why should we give him this field? What if the amas hamayim in the other field dries up and this is the only fertile field? This is the only field that you can actually water that can actually produce anything. And therefore, it is not a case of zenen of zelo chaser. We feel that we are indeed chaser if we give this up. Vilksa Krav Yosef. And we pass on that that's a good tataina, we pass on that Krav Yosef. Another example, Tarte Achad Nagra. What if they yarshin two fields that you water the field from a single Amas Hamayim, and the guy who has a field next to one of them wants to take his chelek, so in the closest field. So Amar Rav Yosef, Gonzeh, Kofal Midastom. That you can be Kofal Midastom, because come on, what's the taina going to be? That it might dry up? If it dries, it's only one Amas Hamayim that waters both fields. So let the guy who owns a neighboring field take the field that's closer to him. There's not, if it dries up, it dries up for everybody. So Maskevla Abaye challenges Rav Yosef. Matzi Amar Biina Da'afisharisi. He might say that I want to have more sharecroppers around by splitting, the property. I mean, if you have to have two separate sharecroppers on two separate properties that are not adjacent to each other, that will provide more security for my field. So can't the brothers give that taina that we do lose out by you having one continuous property, because then you're only going to have one sharecropper, and that will be a breach in security. That will not be as great of a security as if you had to hire multiple sharecroppers. Vilksa Krav Yosef, Afushi Lav Milsehi. But we passing on Rav Yosef that is not really a valid taina, that you're entitled to demand that your brother hire more sharecroppers just so that it will provide an extra set of eyes for your own field. And finally, on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Chad Gisa Nagra v'chad Gisa Nahara. If two brothers are shutfim in a field, and in one field, that has an Amas Hamayim on one side and a river on the other side, and the Amas Hamayim, let's say, goes on the northern side of the field and the river on the eastern side of the field. So since the side closer to the river is the better side to have than the one next to the Amas Hamayim, because the river is more reliable than an Amas Hamayim, and the side next to the Mayim, even the Amas Hamayim, is better than the two sides that are not adjacent to anything. So if you were to draw a line anywhere, someone's going to get the worst end of the deal, right? You draw it diagonally this way, that it doesn't matter. If you draw a single line to cut this into two pieces, someone's going to get the other end of the raw end of the deal. So what do? Palgin loy bekarnazol. The way Rashi understands it, Rashi helpfully drew a picture for us. You cut it like a pizza pie, and if you cut it like a pizza pie, I guess the best verbal description I can give of what Rashi draws. So if you cut it like a pizza pie, so then everyone's going to get one eighth of the field adjacent to the Nahar, everyone's going to get 1/8 of the field adjacent to the Amas Hamayim, and everyone's going to get 2/8 of the field not adjacent to either the Nahar or the Amas Hamayim, and that is the best way to divide it among two brothers. Okay, but Hashem, later we'll pick up with Yud Gimel Amud Aleph at the two dots on the top. Again, we will reconvene in about 3 hours, a little more than 3 hours from now. Everyone have a wonderful day.